Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast. Hey, with optimism once again on the rise in America, the working people of this country are more important than ever. Well, now they have a podcast that celebrates them and tells their stories. On the Job, From Hired to Retired. Well, it's a new podcast from our friends at Express Employment Professionals that digs into the lives of men and women at work and explores their journeys as they fight to make the American dream a reality. On the Job takes the listener through the ups and downs of making a living in America. Now check out the new podcast, On the Job, From Hired to Retired, on iHeartRadio, iTunes, or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. Or just go to expresspros.com/podcast for more information. All right, glad you're with us. Happy Monday, and I am rested and ready to go. It's nice when you get some rest on a weekend, isn't it? 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. I probably don't mention social media, Facebook, Twitter, at Sean Hannity, the Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled Twitter Army Brigade, 24/7, 365. It's where I do a lot of my fighting with especially fake news personalities, people that are always taking cheap shots. I don't want to waste precious airtime because we've got so much to say and so much to cover and so much to do every day that if I'm starting on radio and television to take that airtime and fight back against people that, A, don't have ratings, don't make sense, and frankly are just the same old establishment figures, All right, stop. All right, yeah, of course, I'm referencing the establishment media. You know what's fascinating? I'll say this one thing. Not only all these years, Liberal Joe has had opportunities in the media. He's had so many opportunities. You know, everyone forgets he was up. We were up against each other. He got the lowest ratings. I think over the course of my 22 years at Fox, the roadkill of names that we beat and defeated in our history, first Hannity and Combs and now Hannity, is massive. And I think probably the easiest person to defeat was Joe. He had no ratings. And if the Imus issue didn't happen, and he was rushing to take over for Imus the second he's fired, there's a whole story behind that. Ask the I-Man about it. But if it wasn't for that, it saved his career. And he still has low ratings. And the reason he's had more media coverage than anybody else, because he's establishment media. He's part of that cabal of Washington, D.C., New York City elite, and California, Los Angeles, and San Francisco that doesn't get the rest of us, doesn't get the rest of the country. And these are the people that I say are overpaid, lazy, and they do the show for themselves. And it's if you look at the lineup, up and down the lineup, I'm going to tell you one thing I can guess what happened. Greta Van Susteren's always been a friend of mine. I have great respect for Greta. Greta is somebody, she's not a conservative like I'm a conservative, but Greta is somebody that always has an open mind. All these years I've known her, anytime we're together, she's always asking me questions about how do I come to my conclusions and what makes me so passionate about my belief system. She always wants to know. She's very, very curious. And she's done great interviews with Rush and great interviews with Trump and great interviews with everybody. Anyway, I'm really guessing here, but I'm not really guessing. I just know the environment over there. You either become, you toe that conspiracy theory establishment liberal line at NBC and their cable network, or you're not going to work there. Now, I know that Liberal Joe begged Roger Ailes and begged then later Bill Shein to work at Fox. And he would trash his own employer so he could get hired. And Fox never wanted him because Roger, he just saw no talent there, so to speak. And it's just funny that I'm guessing Greta just needed to be Greta and they didn't want Greta to be Greta. And Greta is naturally just a curious person that wants to get to the truth. I know her. And she does great work with my friend Franklin Graham. I've been on trips with Franklin Graham. She's been on trips with Franklin Graham. Once you do, it's life-changing. So I'm just thinking, Joe was told to shift. It's inexplicable how the transformation that this guy has gone through. And then he wants to take shots at those of us that do seek truth. Now that brings us to our lead story today. Now, we have been telling you things in the last couple of weeks that nobody in the media is covering. We've been going over it in great detail. We have been going over Ukraine and the collaboration and real collusion that happened and why it matters. We've gone over Fusion GPS and the fake dossier with Russian sources all over it that was regurgitated by Democratic Party members in an effort to destroy Trump in the election. We've gone over in great detail what is a real collusion story and a pay for play. And that's Hillary Clinton basically being bribed over the Uranium One signature that she signed off 20% of America's uranium in the hands of Vladimir and all the people associated with that deal that benefited financially so bad for our national security, you know, kicked back over $145 million to the Clinton Foundation. Real money, real transfer, real lying, real corruption. And so it may seem in some ways I'm spending an inordinate amount of time talking about it. And there's a method always to my madness. And I was telling Linda this earlier today, is I made a conscious decision. For example, people, and as much as I love all of you that listen 3 hours a day, every day, and there are all so many of you, and you really make it possible for this show to continue because there are so many people, obviously, that don't want an alternative voice. You know, CNN's the same as MSNBC. It's fake news. Later in the program, we'll have Dr. Sebastian Gorka. We have a fake news industrial complex. They are the opposition party media and use the two other cable channels as Exhibit A and Exhibit B. From morning, noon, and night, it's the same programming. It's the same message. It's the same narrative. You know, she goes out there. And she just keeps pushing again and again and again, a lie, a lie, a lie, a lie, a lie. But what I'm what I've been trying to do is when you look at this issue of Ukraine, I'll take that one to start with. Here you have a DNC operative meeting at the Ukraine embassy with the Ukraine ambassador. You have evidence that they have disseminated false information against Donald Trump because they wanted Hillary Clinton to win the election. So you have a foreign entity, a foreign government, wanting to defeat a presidential candidate and impact our election. You have a DNC paid operative meeting with the Ukrainian ambassador in the embassy. You have then them sending out false information, disseminating false information, doing research, meeting, then that information is then advanced on by this woman, Alexandra Chalupa, to the DNC and to the Clinton campaign. And it has a real impact on the race. And that is, it advanced the narrative that put the Trump campaign in a position where Paul Manafort, who had done work in Ukraine, he ends up having to leave over the insinuations, not over facts, over insinuations. And that really takes place. Real collusion, real attempt by an outside country entity to impact the election, real information passed on, and a real impact on the election. And but for this show, and maybe, I don't know what other shows do because I don't have time to listen to them. Maybe for this show, and maybe some of my colleagues that I know work hard every day that I'm so busy working I don't listen to, maybe they talked about it. But that is evidence of a huge media establishment that is so corrupt. This is what, no doubt, Dr. Gorka is referring to as the fake news industrial complex, the opposition party. They are one group every day advancing the same message every single day. You know, I'll say this about the Fox News channel. There are voices on Fox that drive me nuts. Like Shep and I have been friends for years, and we just respect, we don't agree. And the media was praising Shep, and he's not the biggest fan of Trump. Fine. We don't talk politics when we hang out. When I've seen, we have the best time. And we just have this mutual respect. The same thing if you watch Outnumbered. It's varying opinions, five people a day, and they're clashing it up. They're banging it out. And then you have shows like The Five. Then you have the panel of Brett Baer. Then you have the specialist. You got the Never Trumper. You got a liberal, and then you got Eric Bolling. There are varying opinions. These networks don't have them unless they throw on poor Jeffrey Lord, and it's 8-1. And Jeff is a friend of mine. I've tried to text him during the 8-on-1 debate sometimes, saying, hang in there. I feel sorry for him. He's smart. And Anderson Cooper talking about, you know, taking a poop on his desk. You know, for MSNBC to allow their morning host to call the president a schmuck, a goon, and a thug, and worse every day, that's their business. They've made a business decision. That's what they want to cater to, the alt-radical left, period. That's not what we're doing. Our job is to give you news and information. The good news is that the time that I am now spending, knowing that not everybody can listen every minute of every day or watch every show, although it's frustrating, all I ask is 4 hours a day. That's not a lot. Among friends, we're all friends. But that's why I'm hammering, and I'm going to lay out in even more detail tonight with visual aids how corrupt this Ukraine influence is and was, with and how they colluded with the Democrats and the DNC. Just like I will outline tonight with visual effects, this corrupt dossier and information coming from Russia. You'd think they'd care in the media. They're so obsessed with Russia. And how this former British intel officer, Christopher Steele, is paying for phony information. They get the phony information. He's connected to Fusion GPS, and they're funding the operation, and they're all close to Hillary. They're the ones that came up with the Russian hookers peeing on the bed at the Ritz-Carlton in Moscow. And Democrats are repeating this crap on national TV before an election. And then Comey wants to pay this guy $50,000 or the Uranium One deal. There's nothing more corrupt than the Uranium One deal. Bill doubles his speaking fees, just like the Clintons taking money from countries that practice Sharia. They don't criticize their abuse of women, their killing of gays and lesbians. They bought Hillary Clinton. They don't criticize the persecution of Christian and Jews. The Clintons were about money. And they got millions and millions from countries that have atrocious human rights records. And there's no history of Hillary being critical of them, the great champion of women's rights that she is. Oh, the same thing with the Uranium One deal. 20% of America's uranium, the foundational material for nuclear weapons, going to Vladimir, that's not a Russian conspiracy? Then what is? When we get back, we're going to show you the fruits of our labor, because it was all over the Sunday shows where it never had been before. And that's why I've been hammering it, because now we're forcing the media to at least attempt to show that they can do their job. 800-941-SHAWN is our toll-free number. And that's what we do. That's what makes us different. News and information you can't get anywhere else, especially with the fake news industrial complex. All right, so I have insomnia, but I've never slept better. And what's changed? Just a pillow. It's had such a positive impact on my life. And of course, I'm talking about MyPillow. I fall asleep faster, I stay asleep longer, and now you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 800-919-6090. Use the promo code Hannity, and Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, has the special four-pack. Now you get 40% off two MyPillow premiums and two Go Anywhere pillows. Now MyPillow is made here in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com right now or call 800-919-6090, promo code Hannity, to get Mike Lindell's special four-pack offer. You get two MyPillow premium pillows and two Go Anywhere pillows for 40% off. And that means once those pillows arrive, you start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep that you've been craving and you certainly deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity. You will love this pillow. So we offer news and information that I know you can't get elsewhere. We have real evidence, real collusion, real meetings, a real foreign power wanting to impact our elections and making every effort to do so. And then that information with a paid DNC staffer passed on to the Clinton campaign and passed on to the DNC. Well, even Adam Schiff had to admit it's wrong this weekend. But none of this would happen if I don't beat the living crap out of these stories. Hannity, you're being repetitive. You talked about it yesterday. Because no one else will pick it up if I do a one-day hit and run. It's important. You've got to keep hammering these things. Listen.
Let me ask you, I understand Hillary Clinton lost, and I understand this effort was not as elaborate as the Russian effort, but was it acceptable, or would it have been acceptable for the Democrats to accept help from the Ukrainian government in this campaign?
No, it would be appropriate for the Democrats to accept help from the Ukrainian government. But I think if you look at the Politico article, and we're talking about just a single article here, if you accept all the facts in the article, the scale of what the Russians did is not comparable to anything in that article. If it were, the comparable analogy would be that the Ukrainian president directed the Ukrainian intelligence agencies to steal, to hack Donald Trump's campaign, steal emails, publish them, directed a social media army to influence the election, and sat down, its representatives sat down with Chelsea Clinton and John Podesta, in which they indicated they wanted the dirt on Donald Trump. There's no suggestion anything of that magnitude.
So the scale is different. Acknowledge that. But this is problematic. This Ukrainian meeting is problematic in your eyes.
Well, it would be problematic to get any kind of support from a foreign government. But again, I think to compare the two is a bit like comparing bank robbery with writing a check with insufficient funds, both appropriate money from the bank improperly, but a very different degree of seriousness and involvement in this case by a foreign government.
That is all political spin. They're saying, well, not as elaborate. Well, no, the difference is foreign government wanting to impact our election, paid DNC staffer meeting Ukrainian ambassador at the embassy. The Ukrainians are disseminating false information and doing research for the Republicans. I mean, for the Democrats. And the DNC paid operative is passing it on to the Clintons and the Clinton campaign and the DNC. So it's far worse. Everything that he made up, we don't know. It's everything Schiff said is assuming that the DNC hack happened by the Russians. The emails happened by the Russians. We haven't proven that yet, have we? I'm thinking there might be some disgruntled Bernie people out there that might have been responsible, but we'll see over time, won't we? Let's wait and see. So we're going to stay on 25 till the top of the hour. Thank you, Scott Shannon. Scott Shannon agreed to induct me into the Hall of Fame. How cool is that? I had the honor of inducting him into the Hall of Fame, the Radio Hall of Fame. And you know what I did this weekend? I meant to write John Rich back. You know what, Linda, I did this weekend? John Rich sent me a link, and it was the Howard Stern Show, and it was on 9/11/2001. And Robin Quivers is also apparently getting inducted that night, too. She was amazing this day. It's on YouTube. If I put a link to it, I mean, people aren't going to like some of the words the callers say. I mean, are you looking at my dilemma? Why are you rolling your eyes at me like that?
I mean, I think we're all grown-ups, and then some people choose to use certain vernacular.
But it was a caller. It wasn't even... But
right, well, everybody's a grown-up, whatever.
So John Rich sends it to me, and he goes, wow, listen to this on 9/11. I ended up watching the whole thing. And it really was radio history. Now, for those that don't know, Howard Stern, he just owned New York morning radio. Just owned it. It was... I mean, you saw numbers where just were so astronomical, it was crazy. It's just because I think it's all related to the fact that he's much smarter than people ever give him credit for. They think all he talks about is, you know, fooling around with this person and that person and lesbians equals ratings and all the other stuff that he said over the years. It's not. It's much deeper than that. And he has an uncanny curiosity about him and a truthfulness that is really second to none. And anyway, so that day they were talking about Pam Anderson, and I guess he saw Pam Anderson the night before. And then all of a sudden the whole story starts to unfold on 9/11, and they intersperse it with interviews of Robin and Howard and Baba Booey and all the people that work on his radio show. And then all of a sudden it gets more serious and more serious. And immediately he knew it was a terrorist attack. He goes, I know who it is, but I can't say it. I mean, it just, even then the atmosphere is such that you can't, It's has the hallmarks of Islamic terror, but you can't talk about it. And it always happens. They don't usually do just one attack. It's multiple attacks. Ended up, then the next attack, the second trade center hit, then the Pentagon hit, and then, but the what they were saying is, why do we let people in from countries that don't share our values, basically? Maybe I'm saying it in a nicer way, but if you watch our countries under attack, my buddy Daryl Worley wrote the song, Have You Forgotten? This country's forgotten. 15 years later, we have forgotten. And it's sort of amazing that if you're talking or debating or discussing building a wall so that people just can't walk into our country and protecting our borders, you're racist, you are xenophobic, you are whatever, Islamophobic, you want people that come from countries that abuse women, that kill gays and lesbians, that persecute Christians and Jews, and we can't question you before you come in our country as a guest of this country, having a highly coveted opportunity to visit us? It's the level of political correct insanity that has now taken over the entire culture. Now it's become an industrial complex in itself, as you got all these people. If you're a conservative like I am and you're on the air, people are paid to sit in their underwear every freaking day hoping I say something that they don't like, they deem politically incorrect, they can target my advertisers, which is a roundabout way of silencing conservative voices. This is the environment anybody that's a conservative works in. And Howard, because he was controversial, I mean, I think he could probably relate to it in some degree because there were people trying to get him off the air every day. And there's always an option. We don't force you to listen to this program. I wish I could. I mean, I'd strap everybody up. I put a cattle prod in there. Boom. 3 o'clock. Let's go. Hannity's on. 10 p.m. Eastern. Hannity's on. It's not the way it works. We've got to do a good enough show that you want to listen to, choose to listen to. We've got to do a good enough show that you want to watch every night. And one of the things we try to do to distinguish ourselves is news and information that's different. And we're telling you about stories here. We told you about Obama when everybody was in having an Obamagasm in the country. Everybody in the country, hope and change, like a bunch of zombies. I just went through the lineup of MSNBC and CNN. It's 24 straight hours of establishment, destroy Trump, hate Trump media. It's a fake news industrial complex. And no matter how many times they get it wrong, and after 11 months of Trump Russia, it takes literally, you got to force feed them some truth once in a while, because they don't seem to have a willingness, desire, or capacity to think that beyond which their fellow broadcasters talk about all day. And we've done this on a lot of issues where everybody in the media rushed to judgment in the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman case. We didn't rush to judgment. In the case of Duke Lacrosse, we didn't rush to judgment. Early in my career, Richard Jewell, I did not rush to judgment. Well, fits the profile of the lone bomber. He lives with his mother. Or in the case of Ferguson, Missouri, we didn't rush to judgment. Freddie Gray, I predicted none of those cops were going to get convicted. We were right about Obama's radicalism. The one thing that defines Obama to me is even unlike Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton had a pragmatic side, a capacity to adapt and adjust and work out solutions for the benefit of the country. You saw no flexibility in Obama, none. All he knew is that which he was indoctrinated into. Frank Marshall Davis, Acorn, Alinsky, Wright, Ayers, Dorn, never changed. He had a left-wing ideological agenda, and I predicted it would be a failure. 13 million more Americans on food stamps is a failure. 8 million more in poverty is a failure. Lowest labor participation rate since the 70s is a failure. Worst recovery since the 40s is a failure. Lowest home ownership rate in 51 years. That's a failure. And nobody in the media decided to report that or you know, there were people saying I was way out there on telling the truth about Obama, and I didn't get caught up in "Yes, we can, hope and change, Obama." Well, why do you support Trump? Because I support the agenda. Energy independence. Rick Perry was out there saying, I love what Rick Perry said today. I've always loved Rick Perry. He said Trump's goal is global energy dominance for the United States. Well, that means you're saying that America should be number one. Yeah, I am, actually. We have more resources, especially with natural gas, oil right beneath our feet, coal. We have more energy than we'd ever need in hundreds of years. Why shouldn't we tap into it? Well, we've got to get embroiled in another war to keep the free flow of energy, the lifeblood of our economy, on the Middle East? No, thank you. I'm not interested. I'd rather be energy independent. That's the Trump agenda. I'd like to protect our borders. That's the Trump agenda. I'd like to vet people that come from countries where they're indoctrinated into hating women and persecuting them, killing gays and lesbians, and persecuting Christians and Jews. Yeah, I want to know what you're thinking, why you want to come to the United States. You want to come here to proselytize? You want to come here and set up Sharia courts? They've got 82 Sharia courts in Great Britain, for crying out loud. No, you want to come here and be an American? You want the liberty and freedom you've never experienced before? Well, show us that that's what you want. I don't think it's too much to ask if we're going to let you be a guest in our house. It's exactly what it is, too. We're allowing you to be a guest in our house. We let some people in that are guests that have no intention of being nice to us. So there's so much out there. It's worth watching. I'll send you the link. I got to send John Rich a thank you. It just hit me very hard watching it. Hit me very hard because I lived that day too. And look how far we've come. How is it you're Islamophobic if you're saying to people that grow up a clash of cultures, you know, abusing women, persecuting women, killing gays and lesbians, persecuting Christians and Jews is the antithesis of what we believe in this country, which is freedom, a constitutional republic, a form of government where you let people decide what they want to do with their life. Unbelievable. Well, Hannity, you're against changing the definition of marriage. Okay, yeah, but I'm fighting so that people don't get killed. It's none of our business how people live their lives. None. Zero. None of it. None of our business at all. So we're doing on this program, now we're pointing out the Ukrainian deal, the Uranium One corruption, $145 million, a phony dossier regurgitated on TV by this former British spy. Adam Schiff has to admit, yeah, there's something wrong with the Ukrainian connection. That's only the beginning of it. But you have to force feed a corrupt media. It's like Fusion GPS, which we now know is, well, you know, look at the company. That's the company behind the creation, the unsubstantiated dossier alleging conspiracy between Trump and Russia. Well, it's troubling because they have all these ties to the Democratic Party. And it was an anti-Trump effort and bought and paid for. And Hillary Clinton, you know, is up to her eyeballs in all of this. She's been saying, you know, there's a book that just came out. What's it called? Shattered, written by two reporters. The idea was up until election day, they thought Hillary was going to shatter the glass ceiling and be the next president. Well, then when the book was almost done and they can't release Shattered, then they have to go back. And what they discovered is that it was the Clinton campaign and the Clinton book. They actually describe how, to cover up their loss, it was the Clintons advancing this phony Russian narrative and Russian hacking and going after James Comey. It was they who did all of this. I'm still, I wish John McCain well. I heard he had a surgery today, which is delaying the health care bill. We wish him the best in recovery. But Mr. Deep State John McCain trafficked in that anti-Trump dossier, according to the Brits. There's a lot of things that have gone on here that nobody pays attention to. And what we've been trying to do is get this narrative out. If you're going to say collusion with Russia and Trump, you cannot in the same breath not discuss Ukraine and the DNC and the Clinton campaign. You cannot do that. You cannot ignore Uranium One any longer. You can't ignore Fusion GPS and the dossier any longer. You know, Hillary was in a panic after the hacker dropped everything, and it all shows up on WikiLeaks. Now, I've actually interviewed Julian Assange. Others have not. Julian Assange on this radio program, on Hannity, the TV show, has been adamant. It wasn't a state. It wasn't Russia. Okay, could it have been disgruntled Bernie Sanders supporters that within the DNC saw the fix was in, saw the election, the primary rigged, and were disgusted at the corruption? How is it nobody gave a rip about Bernie Sanders being ripped off? A rigged election in America. Nobody seems to get upset about it. You know, media's Russiagate obsession is only boosting the base support of the president at this particular point and dividing the country. You know, there's a story out in the Daily News after this Russian lawyer, after granting her that extraordinary circumstantial waiver and the notorious 20-minute meeting with Donald Trump Jr. that the media is obsessed about. Anyway, the taxpayer-funded red carpet treatment was so over the top that even the Obama Justice Department prosecutors openly complained about it. Anyway, she was one of three people, this Russian real estate conglomerate, that brought into the city to help with the depositions in a money laundering case by U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara. And she went to town on after a U.S. district judge, a Clinton appointee, said the Fed should pay her bills for the trip. That included upgrading her accommodations, a $1,000 a night room at the Plaza Hotel. And the lawyer appears to have stayed at a less expensive hotel during the depositions, but moved to the Plaza after the depositions included, only after the court orally stated the government would be responsible for reimbursing her financial expenses. Wow. The Russian translator at the meeting used to work for Hillary. Did you know that? Oh, so they've known about this forever. And how many times, Linda, did I predict James Comey is going to write a book? There's going to be a miniseries. He's going to be everything. Probably the only thing I'll get wrong is an MSNBC contributor. Now he's shopping a book deal. His experiences with Trump. Didn't I predict that on day one?
Yes, you did.
Alan Dershowitz, Jonathan Turley, you know, two liberal lawyers. They're all saying a candidate has the right to get information from any source. It's called freedom of speech. So ridiculous. Byron York, what campaign wouldn't seek the motherload of Clinton emails that she illegally erased and hid? She should be prosecuted for that if we had fairness and equal justice under the law in this country. It's amazing. Amazing times we're living in. 800-941-SEAN, Newt Gingrich, Dr. Gorka, all coming up here on the program. A lot coming up, news and information you will not get in the mainstream media. 800-941-SEAN, Newt Gingrich weighs in on what should the Republicans, what do they need to accomplish between now and November 2018 to stay in power? He'll also weigh in on the stories that the media won't cover. And Dr. Gorka, he calls it the fake news industrial complex. He'll join us.
Let me ask you, I understand Hillary Clinton lost, and I understand this effort was not as elaborate as the Russian effort, but was it acceptable, or wouldn't it have been acceptable for the Democrats to accept help from the Ukrainian government in this campaign?
No, it would be appropriate for the Democrats to accept help from the Ukrainian government. But I think if you look at the Politico article, and we're talking about just a single article here, if you accept all the facts in the article, the scale of what the Russians did is not comparable to anything in that article. If it were the comparable analogy would be that the Ukrainian president directed the Ukrainian intelligence agencies to steal, to hack Donald Trump's campaign, steal emails, publish them, directed a social media army to influence the election, and sat down, its representatives sat down with Chelsea Clinton and John Podesta, in which they indicated they wanted the dirt on Donald Trump. There's no suggestion anything of that magnitude.
So the scale is different, acknowledge that, but this is problematic. This Ukrainian meeting is problematic in your eyes.
Well, it would be problematic to get any kind of support from a foreign government. But again, I think to compare the two is a bit like comparing bank robbery with writing a check with insufficient funds, both appropriate money from the bank improperly, but a very different degree of seriousness and involvement in this case by a foreign government.
All right, glad you're with us. Hour two of the Sean Hannity Show. That's even Adam Schiff. We're really proud of ourselves. I knew I spent an inordinate amount of time last week going over three major issues that I knew that the media would never talk touch, and we got the issue now before the consciousness of the American people. The Uranium One deal was being discussed this weekend. The issue in Ukraine with the Ukrainian embassy and the DNC operative meeting at the embassy, the Ukrainians disseminating false information, trying to influence our elections. And then, of course, the paid DNC staffer meeting the Ukraine ambassador, and then, of course, giving that information to the Hillary Clinton campaign and the DNC. And then the Russian dossier, the British intel guy, paid for by Fusion One, GPS, Fusion GPS, which is, of course, a group associated with the Democrats, paid for by the Democrats. And so what do we have there? We have false information coming from Russian operatives about Donald Trump. All turned out to be false. And then, of course, the third issue is the Uranium One deal. Hillary signs off, 145 plus million donated to the Clinton Foundation by the people involved and beneficiaries of that deal, of her signing off as Secretary of State and her husband doubling her speaking fees. Joining us now, former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich, now 7 weeks in a row, New York Times bestseller list, number one on the New York Times for a while, is latest book, Understanding Trump. It's very interesting because we had a discussion this morning and you reminded me, and I had seen this hacker website had released emails and other information about the level of collusion between Clinton and a Ukrainian banker close to the former president of Ukraine. And WikiLeaks was obviously quick to pick up the story, but the group had released an email showing that Clinton had been planning from the get-go to blame the Russians for her loss. And then you reminded me about these two top Clinton aides and their book Shattered, which was this whole plan to blame the Russians and Comey was almost set from the get-go.
Well, Shattered written by two liberal reporters who had a contract to write about the election of the first woman president. So it's very interestingly done. And of course, on election night, they suddenly realized that they had better find a whole new approach. And the approach that they decided was to try to figure out why she lost when nobody on her side thought she would. And towards the end of the book, they walk you through Hillary beginning to decide about 24 hours after the election that it was Comey and his press statements and the Russians. It wasn't her fault. It was Comey and it was the Russians. And she became totally fixated. And of course, her staff is standing around going, okay, we could tell her it's not true, but then it would be our fault. So why don't we just go along with her? And so I think a great deal of the news media Russian fixation came out of the Clinton effort to find somebody to blame other than herself. If you think about it, it's kind of amazing that it would degenerate like that.
It really is amazing, isn't it? In so many different ways. Can you imagine writing a book so certain that Hillary's going to win? That's how certain they are. So Shattered, obviously, a reference.
Look, everybody in the elite was certain until about 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock election night. It's only when the early returns start coming in and they begin to realize how big the margin for Trump is in some areas that they begin to get really scared. I mean, literally, they are relatively comfortable until about 8 or 9 o'clock on election night. And so that's why this is, instead of shattering the glass ceiling, it turned out that Hillary herself was shattered by the impact of this totally unexpected defeat. And that's, I believe, that's a major reason that you still have today so many people who are just bitter about Trump because the shock was so enormous that they just couldn't, you know, they couldn't believe it.
I think that the media is so overreached on this. I'm not finished with really explaining all that happened, but I'll give the short end. Ukrainian ambassador meeting at the embassy, DNC paid operative. They're disseminating false information trying to impact our election. That information to the DNC operative going back to the Clinton campaign and to the DNC, and I think a lot of people need to answer questions. Isn't that far worse than anything that we've heard regarding Trump, Russia in 11 months?
Well, I mean, it's if you just want to say, and look, I do believe that there are a lot of good reasons that Congress should be looking at foreign influence in American politics and in American government, way beyond just Russia and Ukraine, because I do think there are huge problems in a world system when you have a free society that has these kind of penetration by foreign groups and foreign governments. But in this case, if you went down the list, you'd have to say, first of all, to the best of my knowledge, we have zero proof that the Trump team was proactively collaborating on anything. I mean, you have one meeting, which is a fairly stupid meeting, that involves a lobbyist who has been actively in, I think, over 100 congressional offices. And to the best of my knowledge so far, that's it. We've had 8 months of effort, the FBI, a special counsel, the New York Times, the Washington Post, everybody who can, and in 8 months' time, and by the way, this meeting surfaced only because Jared Kushner went back, reviewed his schedule, and realized he had not put it on his list, and he voluntarily put it on his list of what he had done. And so it's not like there's been any effort to hide any of these things. These guys looked at this as one out of probably 600 meetings they had during that period in the campaign, listening to people. Folks would come through with an idea, with a technology, with something that will really beat Hillary. And they listened to a ton of people, and in this case, they thought there was nothing there.
You know, Alan Dershowitz, and there's been many attorneys, Jonathan Turley, both strong Democrats, have both been on record saying the whole thing is ridiculous. And Dershowitz's comments was on Donald Trump Jr., a candidate has a right to get information from whatever source. And he said, if it were to be prosecuted, the First Amendment would trump that a candidate has the right to get information from whatever source the information comes. And if the material was obtained unlawfully, you prosecute. And now, if you can, the people who obtain the material, but you're not the person that receives it. There is a First Amendment right of a candidate to use information. You can't include information under the campaign finance law. That would be unconstitutional. So nothing here is even remotely criminal. But they try to make this one meeting of 20 minutes into the worst thing that's happened since Watergate. And it's you have two news networks now that are 24/7, nothing else but this.
Well, I think that's right. And I think that, again, the desperation of the establishment to somehow defeat Trump, to get him out of office, to do something to short circuit the process. You know, I mean, I think you cannot underestimate how deeply hostile the system is to Donald Trump and how much these people believe that it is their moral duty to go out of their way to try to destroy him. I mean, it's just astonishing.
You have shown a lot more patience than I have as the Republicans try to navigate the president's agenda through Congress. Now, they were supposed to have a health care vote in the Senate this week. We learned a few things. We learned we got kickbacks going to, you know, a bunch of people in the deal, including Lisa Murkowski, to get her vote. And that's frustrating to me. John McCain had some health issues, so he's out all week. So the vote's gotten delayed. But we haven't even touched the economy. We haven't touched middle class tax cuts and corporate tax cuts and multinational corporate repatriation or energy independence or building the wall or any of the things that I think are going to make all the difference in 2018.
Well, look, I think that there are times when you have to take a deep breath and ask yourself, where are you? We've had almost 7 months now of the House, Senate, White House team trying to get things done. We've learned some very painful things. They can't get anything done that's complicated. They can't get anything done rapidly, and they can't explain what the, you know, and win the communications fight. And if that's true, then I think you've got to really rethink what is it they can get done rather than what do you wish they'd get done. And I think their highest priority ought to be to pass a very big tax cut, make it retroactive, and ensure that the economy is growing fast enough that people see enough jobs, they see enough opportunity, they see enough take-home pay, that in 2018 they decide we're the party of prosperity.
Stay right there.
If we can't deliver something, we have a big problem.
Yeah, they're going to lose in 2018. I'm going to tell you what I think the five things are that must be done to satisfy the people that voted for them and gave them the power they asked for. And then I'll get your take on it as we continue. Former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, his book, Understanding Trump, number one New York Times bestseller. It's on Amazon.com, Hannity.com, bookstores everywhere. All right, as we continue with former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, his number one New York Times bestseller, now on the New York Times list for, 7 weeks, is called Understanding Trump, and it's on Amazon.com, bookstores everywhere, Hannity.com. So from my perspective, all right, the president fulfilled his promise on Neil Gorsuch, an originalist. He might have another opportunity. We'll see soon. Also, if the American people can't see 300 miles, I would say at least 200 to 300 miles of the wall built, and see that it's funded and getting done. If that's not done, if there's not the effort to begin the process, repeal, replace Obamacare, and getting it done and getting it started, allowing health savings accounts and cooperatives, if they don't get this economic plan that we went into detail in the last segment and get the economy moving, and I love your retroactive comment, if they don't get that done and they don't get energy, the jobs, the millions of available jobs from energy, I think they have a real risk of losing in 2018.
No, I think that's right. Now, I will say, I think on immigration that Secretary John Kelly is doing such an amazing job. Things like, you know, really mopping up MS-13, the El Salvadorian gang, where they have literally gone after hundreds of people. I think that there's a general feeling that we have made real progress on stopping people crossing the border. And I do think they will have progress to show on the wall and on how they're going to make sure that America is safe. There I just have enormous faith in General Kelly and his ability, now that he's the Secretary of Homeland Security, to get that.
What is your list, though? Do you agree with me that 2018 is in jeopardy unless those five things are done?
Yes, I mean, absolutely. I think they have to recognize, first of all, that the Democratic base is going to be very, very motivated because from their perspective, they really want to get even with what they see as an election that didn't go the way they wanted it to. So we have to be prepared on our side, I think, to recognize that this is going to be a real fight. I think all too many of our friends are sort of sleepwalking and can't quite believe it's going to be this difficult. But I think it's going to be very challenging for us to get this thing done right.
What are the things on your list?
Well, I would say that, first of all, avoiding a major war is a big deal. Things like North Korea worry me a lot. Second, I would say that getting the kind of continuing what they're doing with deregulation, which is enormous. And by the way, in addition to the strict construction of Supreme Court justices, look at the number of new nominees he's sending up for district and appeals court. And there, I think one of the real tests is going to be, I suspect the Republicans in the Senate are going to end what's called blue slipping, which is a process by which any one senator can block any nominee in his or her state, including an appeals court nominee where the appeals court circuit includes their state. I think that's going to be changed, and that will be a major blow to liberalism when it gets changed. And that will accelerate getting conservatives on the court, which is one of the things that Trump has kept his word on and is doing really, really well. I think they've got to find some answer on health care. I don't know what it is. It's been a much bigger mess than I thought it would be and doesn't show much sign of getting better. And I think that they've got to find a way to get an infrastructure bill built. But I also would say that the country wants to see very real reform. You know, the place where they have a great story to tell is the Veterans Administration, where they really have, both on a bipartisan basis in Congress, passed tremendous reform legislation, and they have also done a great job of
Dr. so important
Shulkin has just been really, really fixing that, you know, dramatic.
Well, it shows what you can do if you put your attention to something. But
that's right. They need to take three or four more departments and have that kind of impact.
Well, I agree. These next 6 months are critical if the Republicans want support in 2018. I totally agree with you. And some of them seem unwilling to work with the president, which is insanity. And frankly, they're committing political suicide. Former Speaker of the House, number one New York Times bestseller, Understanding Trump, Newt Gingrich. We'll see you tonight on Hannity and get you to respond to all these issues and more. That's happening at 10 Eastern tonight. Hope you'll join us. We'll take a quick break here. We'll come back, wide open telephones next half hour. Then, well, the hero of the hour, Dr. Sebastian Gorka, White House senior aide, he's going to join us to describe what he is now calling fake news, the fake news industrial complex, and how the fake news media is the opposition party. Straight ahead.
We know on the Ukrainian side it wasn't the campaign chairman, the son of the candidate, and whatnot at the meeting. There are clear differences here. But let's try to figure out what this was. I mean, this woman, Alexandra Hulupa, was someone who did work with the Democrats over a period of time, wasn't she?
Well, it's my understanding at the time, I mean, again, I just know this from the Politico reporting, that she was a consultant to the DNC at the time. And I can tell you, and I think Dan's own reporting can also tell you, I never met with her. I don't think anybody who was actually part of our research team met with her. I can tell you our director, the person who was directing our Trump research, never met with her.
Are you saying if there's there, does that justify getting Oppo research from a foreign country?
But I think what we're saying is there's no evidence that that's what happened, right? I mean, even David just now from Politico was suggesting, you know, he couldn't say that that's what happened. And in your introduction, you didn't say that that's what happened here. She may have been freelancing and trying to see what kind of information she could get. That is not the same. She most certainly did not sit down with Chelsea Clinton and John Podesta and Robbie Mook and say, here's what I got.
What it does seem that you might have is another government, in this case the Ukrainian government, that did have an interest in the outcome of the U.S. election in May, and may have done something, whether it be provide documents, provide information when someone was asking for it. Do you deny that?
I don't know. I mean, sure. I certainly don't have any. I don't have that. I was not part of any conversation like that, nor was anyone, you know, at the DNC. I mean, they've said there was no collusion with the Ukrainians. And I can tell you on the part of the campaign, there was no such thing that happened.
All right. That was on, I guess, Jonathan Carl, I guess, filling in for George Stephanopoulos. He has a much needed vacation defending Hillary Clinton. Anyway, that was on This Week from This Weekend, and that was Karen Finney, former Hillary Clinton spokesperson. So, Linda, remember during the campaign, and remember I said to you, I am going to spend a year telling Obama's record every single day on radio and TV, or almost every single day on radio and TV. And I said to you, and I said to the audience at the time, and we did it. I said, nobody else is going to tell you this information about how badly he has failed the American people. Remember that?
Yeah.
And remember, before the election, I was using the term forgotten men and women in this country, right?
Yes, indeed.
Okay. And then we got the forgotten man painting by our friend John McNaughton, who's, I think, one of the greatest painters ever. We have a copy of it in my studio right here.
Yes, we do.
Okay. So my question here is, when last... Well, the last couple of weeks, I have begun talking about Ukraine and talking about the Russian dossier and Christopher Steele, and I brought up the Uranium One deal. How well do you know that there's a method to my madness?
It's a very good method, boss.
Okay, and I have to push the story, navigate the story to get it the mainstream media, which is so flagrantly corrupt, and I think Dr. Gorka is going to join us at the top of the hour, is right. It is a fake news industrial complex. It is the enemy opposition party, and that they never would ever cover what happened in Ukraine with the dossier where we had Russian sources, some of them paid, and Democrats regurgitating falsehoods, or the Uranium One deal, which is out of people's consciousness at this point, unless I didn't hammer it day and night on radio and TV. Do you agree that's true?
100%.
And when you saw Jay Sekulow this weekend, who was on the Sun, he was talking about it. And here you have even Jonathan Carl bringing it up. And then you have even fake news CNN. They're forced to do that which they don't want to do because you have to almost force feed them. They're broccoli.
Well, I mean, the fact that Karen Finney went on with Berman and Camerota, I mean, it was obviously a softball interview, and she knew that she would be able to duck and dodge the questions about Ukraine.
But they have to now. You can't ignore. You can't talk Russia-Trump anymore without bringing this up. It is almost impossible. And every Republican that goes on any show or any conservative on any show, here are the facts, is you have a meeting with a DNC paid operative, with the ambassador of Ukraine, in the Ukrainian embassy. You have all of that take place and information passed on to the Clinton campaign and the Democrats. Now, that is what it is. And there's real collusion, real meetings, real high-ranking people going right back to the campaign and dissemination of false information. I think it was, you know, fake Jake Tapper. Fake news Jake Tapper was out there saying, well, it doesn't matter because Hillary didn't win. Well, if the Ukraine was trying to influence the election, if Ukraine was trying to influence the election, then absolutely it matters. There's no difference in the allegation Russia was trying to influence the election. The only difference is, you know, Donald Trump Jr. takes a call from a friend, has a meeting for 20 minutes, is bored stiff, walks away, end of meeting, and a waste of his time. And that's all they've got after 11 months of nonstop conspiracy theories. I think that now that we are where we are, now we've got to take it a step further. And that means that people have to be put under oath. And in this Ukraine situation, that would mean the DNC, Alexandra Chalupa, and the ambassador to Ukraine. And that would include all the heads, including Karen Finney. And that would include Robbie Mook and John Podesta and Hillary Clinton herself. What did they know? When did they know it? And that would include Debbie Wasserman Schultz, because Chalupa was reporting back to the DNC.
But the problem is, Sean, is that you think that by putting them under oath, we're going to get some kind of answers. But we've already seen that when we put people from the left under oath, it doesn't mean anything.
They just lie.
I mean, we look at Benghazi's. What difference does it make? We look at James Comey, who lied about Lynch and about Trump. And now we're looking at Lynch, who was the person that intercepted everything. And now she's going to be held under
oath. Look, I'm looking at fundamental truth and fairness. If the standard is any outside entity or government having to any attempt to impact our elections like Ukraine did, then we need to know the truth. That's what the Democrats have been saying. Then we need to talk about America influencing or trying to defeat a sitting prime minister of our closest ally in the Middle East, the only democracy in the Middle East. And that's victory 15 and Obama and taxpayer money being used. And then if we're really going to look, if we're going to dig deep and we're all talking about crimes here, then we can't allow the Clinton Foundation kickback 20% of America's uranium going to Putin and the Russians, because after all, that's the Russians benefiting and Hillary Clinton's foundation benefiting. There's real money changing hands there, and that's a quid pro quo. And we certainly can't overlook the dossier. We can't overlook Democrats regurgitating phony information by Fusion GPS that was hiring this former British intel guy that advances such a phony narrative about hookers and urinating in beds in Moscow and the Ritz. I'm sure that happens all the time at the Ritz-Carlton in Moscow with Donald Trump in the room, the biggest germphobe, you know, short of Howard Stern. It's ridiculous. The whole thing is ridiculous. These are the times we live in. All right, let's hit the phones. Tony is in Miami, News Radio 610 WIOD. How are you, Tony? Glad you called.
Thank you for taking my call, Sean, and thank you very much for your excellent work. It's an honor to speak with you.
The honor is all mine.
Well, I had a marketing company for 28 years, and if I were your brand manager, I would not allow you to subject yourself to the liberal reporting of the New York Times Magazine. You do very well in controlling your brand, and to let anyone like the New York Times Magazine omit a word, add punctuation, or whatever to change your message would be crazy insane. I agree with Linda.
Well, what was the poll? It's interesting you say all of this, Tony. What was the poll that Linda put up on, what'd you put it up, Friday?
Well, I actually put up one on Friday, and I put up one this morning. So the one this morning is still going.
Did a lot of people vote over the weekend and on Friday?
Ironically, people voted in your favor over the weekend with Dying Alone, which I was very surprised.
What do you mean, Dying Alone?
Well, that's what I call your desire, Dying Alone.
No. It is not Dying Alone. It's not being a burden to
my family.
Let's
ask Tony. Tony, what did it sound like to you?
It's very selfish, Sean.
See that?
As far as going away to die on your own like the Indian chief, it's going away from those
Tony,
who love
I have such
you,
respect.
And who you trust most is very selfish. They
Wait,
put up
Tony,
with you, and
Tony,
you put up with them in
Tony,
life.
Tony, can I be a little...
They want to be with you and love you till the end.
Can I be a little crude? A little
okay.
bit?
Okay. All right.
Do you really want your children cleaning up after you?
Listen,
I don't. I
Sean,
would never, ever, ever want that.
I cleaned up after my father-in-law.
I did.
Didn't have the opportunity to do that with my father. And if I had to do it all over again, I would love to be loving him until the very last moment.
But the audience was
with
me.
Oh, my God. You're really going to respond to that? You just lost. That, like, line was it.
All right. No, I heard what she said. You're a kind, loving, sweet, wonderful person. But I also think, as a person myself, I lived through that and did that for my grandfather. I don't want to subject my children to that which was very, very traumatic and painful for me. Not because I had to do it, but seeing this man of steel in the last year of his life being reduced to needing everything and feeding him, for crying out loud.
Why would you have that decision? You made that decision to care for your grandfather. You allow your children to make the same decision. It's not yours to make.
It's not my. I don't even have a say. Tony, God bless you.
Ding, ding.
All right. Are you happy? Everybody thinks I'm selfish
because I don't want
my
Tony.
I don't want my family feeding me, you know, and I don't want my family cleaning me in a bed because I can't get out of bed.
But we'll just leave you in the house with your family, and they don't have to feed you, and they can leave you dirty. How's that? It's fine.
No. I'm going to say goodbye. If I have 3 months, it was all predicated on me already being told I'm dead. It's just soon. And I just don't want to be a burden to my family. That's all
event,
it is. I'm trying to think of them. And
to
you're
answer
turning this
your
around
question,
that I'm being selfish, that I don't want them to feed me and
so
clean
crazy.
Me up.
You're so crazy.
And put a diaper on me.
Listen,
I don't want that.
Depends have a lot of fashionable styles these days. Don't knock it till you try it, okay?
Oh, great. Yeah, so if you'd come over and clean me up and feed me, is that what
you're
saying?
Listen, I've done a lot worse for my friends, and, you know, I think I'd be all
by
right.
By the way, notice that Linda is hedging, considering I'm not family.
I'm not totally hedging.
I'm not totally hedging.
I'm just saying, I might let the kids go first, and maybe your wife, and possibly
you'll take
two
the
of your sisters.
Shift and where
then
I'm sleeping.
When you fall asleep, I'll come in and make sure the pillow's in the right
yeah,
spot.
Yeah, by that point, I'll have the morphine drip, which means basically they're trying to depress
I'll breathing hold your
so
hand.
You die.
I'll tell you nice political stories. I'll read War and Peace. It'll be wonderful.
I want to know who's winning.
But wait, before we run out of time.
What's happening in Hamilton County and Palm Beach County?
Here's the answer. Here's the answer for Tony. The answer is that the poll about you taking the interview is in the team's favor. You're losing. And the poll about
what's
dying
the,
alone
well,
is in your
how
favor.
How much? What's the percentages?
It's like 80-20.
That people agreed with me not to be selfish to my family. Okay.
Yes.
And what's the other one?
It's 80-20 in our favor for you not to do the interview.
All right. I understand.
Now you need to do your advertisement.
Oh. You mean there's actually things to do on the show besides...
I know. It's crazy.
You know, everyone's talking to me about it all weekend, wherever I was.
Everybody was talking to me about it all weekend.
People were talking about it, and they're asking me. And most people I found agreed with me. They agreed that it's an act of love not to burden your family. I don't want to burden my family. You know what? I want them to remember me as I was, as a fighter. Not as somebody that, and I'm not, look, this is nature taking its course. Not as somebody that needed assistance to eat and to clean and wasting their lives for however long I'm lingering here and clinging to life. I'll put aside some money and hire people to do that. All right, as we continue, Sean Hannity Show, we have Dr. Sebastian Gorka, who calls the news media the fake news industrial complex and the opposition party media. He'll join us, talk about his beatdowns on fake news CNN last week. Let's get to our phones as we say hi to Susan, who's in Baltimore, Maryland, WCBM. How are you, Susan?
Hi, I'm well. Thank you so very much for taking my call.
Thank you. What's going on?
Hey, actually reaching out to you to speak to you with regards to the fact that so many of us, including myself, are becoming weary of the rhetoric and the circular logic that we're receiving from both of these parties. And after watching their behaviors and listening to their words, they certainly do seem that the only group that they're attempting to empower is themselves and their wallets.
You know what's bad politically for them all to do? For them to do nothing. You know what's bad for them to do politically? Not to keep their promises. You know what would be good for them? It would be good for them to grow a spine, to stand on their principles, to fulfill their promises, and get the job done they promised to do. And there's a growing group of us, and it's getting larger by the minute, that are frustrated. And we're frustrated that they don't move quickly enough, that they're lazy, and that they're scared of their own shadow, and all they do is seem to calculate how to maintain power, just as you're saying.
Absolutely. Time for them to take action.
Agreed. Do your job or get out of the way. We'll get somebody who can do their job.
Right there with you.
Yeah. I was so shocking, by the way, to 100 Republicans in the House had no intention of ever repealing, replacing Obamacare. That's despicable. That's so disgraceful. Anyway, we'll take a quick break here. When we come back, Dr. Gorka calls it the fake news industrial complex, and he defines the news media, the liberal destroy Trump media, as the opposition party. We'll check in with him next. We'll get to your calls, 800-941-SEAN, as we kick off this Monday. We got a great Hannity beatdown monologue at 10 Eastern. Hope you'll join us.
This is the darkest political moment in American history.
But this is problematic. This Ukrainian meeting is problematic in your eyes.
Well, it would be problematic to get any kind of support from a foreign government.
We worked last year. We won the election. It was stolen. Hillary won in spite of having 3 million vote lead.
Holding them accountable. Sean gets the answers no one else does. Freedom is back in style. Welcome to the revolution.
We burning down the night, shooting bullets at the moon, baby. This is how we roll.
Sean Hannity. The new Sean Hannity Show. More behind the scenes information on breaking news and more bold, inspired solutions for America. Stay right here for our final news roundup and information overload.
I mean, this is the shocking thing. Again, the amount of time you spend in desperation on a topic that has plummeted you to 13th place in viewership ranking across America. I mean, more people watch Nick at Night cartoons than CNN today.
Our ratings are doing just fine. I mean, if you want to go there, our ratings are doing just fine. But what ratings represent is that people are interested in this. And our ratings reflect that Americans are interested in this. Look,
I'm sure more people
are interested in watching House of Cards than whatever you're doing as well. However, our ratings are just fine, and the American people say that they're quite interested in what's going on with these Russian
ties. Actually, that's not true.
If you look at the polling,
most people couldn't care less. More than 65% of Americans are not interested in Russia. No, as in your bubble. In your bubble, sure. But that's the bubble. That's not the people who elected Donald J. Trump to be president.
Of Americans and polls.
That at the end of the meeting it was under false pretenses, that it ended up being about adoption. And then do you really want to talk? I thought we were going to talk about real issues, like we're doing with our allies in France.
I am going to ask you, but you're not being honest. You're not being upfront.
Anderson, how many minutes are we in?
Are you a TV producer now? You're concerned about how minutes we're talking?
No, I'm just disappointed again.
You got to go. You got to go.
You're falling into the fake news trap again, and this is sad, Anderson.
Okay. I mean, you're like shiny. You know, you're like you're shaking shiny objects to try to divert people. But I don't think viewers are really
You know why the president's description of a witch hunt is accurate? Because there never were witches. And there never was any collusion. It's bogus.
You're claiming that Donald Trump Jr. was transparent from the get-go.
Donald Trump Jr. is transparent.
He didn't just release his emails because the New York Times had
You're like a broken record.
No, because I'm not getting any answers from you.
I'm answering you every time.
No, you're responding. You're actually not answering because you're not actually being upfront.
Let's let the viewers judge who decided that you are now at 13th place in national ratings behind Nick at Night, which is at 11.
You used that line on Monday, and you know it was sort of mildly
Tucker
amusing
Carlson
on Monday.
Tucker Carlson gets 4 million viewers. You barely scratched 800,000.
But I think it's funny that you have enough time in the White House, which is apparently you're so busy, you're able to sit around and read Nielsen numbers.
I get really good prep from my team because the White House press team is superb.
Okay.
I don't deal with this stuff because I do have a day job.
Sooner or later, somebody has to push back. We've got beautiful, intelligent women like Kellyanne. We've got, brave professionals like Sean Spicer. Somebody has to be the president's pit bull, and I'm ready. I'm going to take it to them. They had a reputation, Sean. They had a reputation. CNN in the war zones, MSNBC. It's gone like a puff of smoke. They have a credibility crisis. Think about what they're doing. They've been in this collusion delusion for 9 months, not one piece of illegal evidence of any illegal activity, and they spin and they spin. They're tanking. Somebody has to make them wake up, and I'm glad to help them.
It was like the week of Gorka last week as he beats down CNN and fake news all around the country, and an amazing display of standing up to fake news. They can't handle it. You know, I'll give you more fake news today. You have an ABC News, Washington Post poll, and the president has an approval rating at 36%. You think, wow, this is horrible. This is terrible. No president has ever been this low. Well, there's one thing you need to know about this so-called scientific survey. 52%. You know, more Democrats than Republicans. That's basically what it is. You've got a sample of, 35% Democrats and Republicans. You know, the partisan divides and independents added to them. It's so phony and fake and fraudulent. It's like the same polls before the election happens. Anyway, joining us now is the man himself, Dr. Sebastian Gorka is with us, White House senior aide. How are you?
Very well, Sean. Great to be back on the show.
It's great to have you back. You know, it's what you were saying is factually accurate. I mean, Nick at Night is beating CNN. Nick at Night is running 50-year-old, maybe longer, maybe 60-year-old, Yogi Bear, Hey Boo Boo, Picnic Basket reruns, and Full House 25-year-old reruns of that show. And the Olsen twins are in their 30s, for crying out loud, you know, married. It's insane. Look, how bad they're doing, and they just, it's 24 hours of establishment destroy Trump news. That's what this has become, both on the MSNBC and CNN. There's no variation at all whatsoever.
It's truly become an obsession. It really, really has. And as we discussed earlier, there's two ways to do what you do, to be in the news business. One is to be committed to the truth. You are proud of your conservative views and you're open about them, but you actually are focused on the truth, whether it's about ISIS, Fast and Furious, the IRS scandal, Benghazi. And the other one, sadly, is the one that MSNBC, CNN have fallen into, which is we're just going to go after the ratings. The ratings makes our sponsors and our corporate owners happy. And if it means lying, if it means spinning, if it means literally making things up, such as a Scaramucci story, then we will do it. And at the same time, and this is the real kicker, Sean, we're going to say that we're bipartisan and independent.
Look at Fox, for example. Let me give you an example. I mean, you have, for example, the show Outnumbered. You got so many varying viewpoints on that show. You got my buddy Eric Bolling. Eric Bolling is surrounded by somebody on the left that's a never Trumper on the right. Our good friend Ebony Williams, and she is left of center. So you know what? So there you have some Shep Smith. All right, Shep is a friend I like, but he's so anti-Trump. I mean, went off on a rant last week. That's fine, but it's different. Brett, you know, look at, for example, Special Report, the panel they have. It's you know, the majority of them are never Trump. If you look at the shows even at night, I mean, you can't have more variation of viewpoints than on The Five. I take the position that I want to get to the truth. You're right. And I'm getting to the truth. And one of the issues I'm bringing up is Ukrainian influence collusion and GPS, Russian collusion, fusion GPS with the Russians helping the Democrats. Nobody in the media even touches these stories.
Think about what we've sunk into, or what certain elements of the mainstream media have sunk into. If you just look at the figures, again, this is just facts. This is Harvard University. More than 90% of the coverage of organs like CNN is about attacking the president. More than 90%. Not even the Soviet Union's media was that bad. If you look at the minutes, if you look at how much in the 42-minute hour section CNN devotes to Russia, they talk more about Russia than America, Sean. That's wrong. That's what Pravda did. That's what Izvestia did when they were the Soviet Union's press organs. The American people want to hear about America. They want to hear about jobs. They want to hear about the economy. They want to hear about defeating ISIS so Americans are safe. When you don't do that, when you spend 90% of your time bashing the duly elected president, you will pay the consequences, and that's what's happening. And they just don't want to hear it, Sean. They do not want to hear it.
Let me ask you about the Ukraine. So here you have a meeting that actually took place. You have the Ukrainians on record saying they were disseminating false information. They wanted to impact our election, the very accusations about Russia. They disseminated false information. They did research with the DNC. A real meeting with a paid DNC operative took place at the embassy. The DNC operative then reports back to the DNC and Robbie Mook and John Podesta and the Clinton campaign. And yet there you have real proven actual collusion. Why don't we hear about it?
We don't, because that would be about the truth. Because if you reported about that, you'd have to report about the fact that when she was Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton had to sign off on a uranium deal to that group of investors that at the same time was giving money to her foundation at the same time as her husband was picking up $500,000 speaking fees from Russian companies connected to the Kremlin. The fact is, Sean, you know as well as I do, everybody on the left, including the mainstream media, thought that their candidate was the shoo-in. Remember, the Huffington Post said what? 98% chance of victory on the day of the election. They thought she would win. This is their only way to cope with it. This is a smokescreen. The collusion delusion is the way the left copes with the fact that Hillary lost. There's only one answer, and that's the answer. It is a psychological necessity.
Let me then take it a step further, and I actually pat myself on the back a little bit here because I decided, okay, I'm so sick and tired of the media double standard and a made-up conspiracy theory that has been going on for 11 months. So I've decided to educate as many people as I can about Ukraine and the DNC and the Clinton campaign and about Fusion GPS and about the phony dossier and how a lot of the information came from the Russians to this Christopher Steele guy, how Comey wanted to hire him, and how the Democrats repeated it. Even now, Adam Schiff, in large part, because I don't know anyone else that's covering it, had to respond to the Democrats getting help from Ukraine this weekend. Listen.
Let me ask you. I understand Hillary Clinton lost, and I understand this effort was not as elaborate as the Russian effort, but was it acceptable or wouldn't it have been acceptable for the Democrats to accept help from the Ukrainian government in this campaign?
No, it wouldn't be appropriate for the Democrats to accept help from the Ukrainian government. But I think if you look at the Politico article, and we're talking about just a single article here, if you accept all the facts in the article, the scale of what the Russians did is not comparable to anything in that article. If it were, the comparable analogy would be that the Ukrainian president directed the Ukrainian intelligence agencies to steal, to hack Donald Trump's campaign, steal emails, publish them, directed a social media army to influence the election, and sat down, its representatives sat down with Chelsea Clinton and John Podesta, in which they indicated they wanted the dirt on Donald Trump. There's no suggestion anything of that magnitude.
So the scale is different, acknowledge that, but this is problematic. This Ukrainian meeting is problematic in your eyes.
Well, it would be problematic to get any kind of support from a foreign government, but again, I think to compare the two is a bit like comparing bank robbery with writing a check with insufficient funds, both appropriate money from the bank improperly, but a very different degree of seriousness and involvement in this case by a foreign government.
That's wrong. That last part is wrong because, what, if anything, it had a big impact on the campaign. They went after Manafort and it contributed to Manafort leaving. They also have real collusion that from Ukraine, the ambassador, the DNC operative, paid to the DNC to the Clinton campaign. And that information was used versus a 20-minute non-meeting. So it's a big difference, isn't it?
It's a massive difference. But let's not do things that may task somebody who doesn't have legal training, you know, has to look up what the definition of collusion is. America, I'm a proud American now, America is famous because of our common sense. So let's just have one common sense approach to this whole Russia question. The mainstream media has been at this for 9 months.
All right, stay on that thought. I want to talk about the common sense approach to it when we get back. Dr. Sebastian Gorka, a classic media beatdown that fake news now. Well, I wonder if they'll even invite him back at this point. We can't have him on. He attacks us and tells the truth about us. More with Dr. Sebastian Gorka coming up next. And as we continue with Dr. Sebastian Gorka, who is a senior White House aide, joins us. All right, so going forward, to me, the most important thing the president needs to do, we know there's no criminality as it relates to any of the charges of the, what do you call it, the media industrial complex and the opposition party and the fake news industrial complex. So now, to me, the president's got to move forward with his agenda. That means repealing, replacing. That means his economic plan. That means energy independence. That means building, you know, hundreds and hundreds of miles of wall on the southern border. And I'm worried that the Republicans in the House and Senate just aren't keeping up at the speed of Trump, and they're just so pathetically slow with no urgency.
So I really want your listeners to understand one very important message. I travel around, I give talks at conservative audiences and audiences of mixed political makeup. The idea that we inside the West Wing are somehow negatively affected by the way the mainstream media treats us is totally wrong. The idea that we're distracted, we're not working on the agenda, it's just not true. Look at the fact, 25 weeks in office, we have seen illegal migration drop by 73%. We've seen the stock market break 23 records in a row. We've seen jobs start up again. We've seen our Iraqi allies, with our support, crush ISIS in Mosul. That's in 23 weeks. Could you imagine if we'd done that in 24 months under Obama? So the point is the following. We are sticking to the agenda. People like you made it possible that Donald J. Trump could become president. He is now the president, and his Make America Great Again agenda is being realized 24/7. You know what you know how hard he works. You know how hard my boss Steve Bannon works. This is a team that is unstoppable.
Well, I agree, but I also think that the Republicans are at risk if they think they can't keep their promises.
Let's also be deadly honest about who won the election. And the election wasn't really won by the GOP establishment. And I think the GOP establishment is starting to understand that. This election was won by a real estate magnate called Donald J. Trump, and he won it despite the establishment in the last 16 years. And I think, you know, if you're wise, if you're a member of the establishment GOP, you're starting to understand that the old way of doing business, the business-as-usual approach, has been roundly rejected. And think about who rejected it. We had a lot of blue-collar people, Democrats. We had Democrats vote for this president, and the Republicans have to think about what that means for the future of their business-as-usual attitude.
Yeah. Well, the only thing I'm going to say, now, what's the latest with CNN? Did they call you behind the scenes and say, well, if we invite you on, you have to be nice?
Look, we shall wait and see. I mean, somebody suggested that Ben Rhodes and I on Twitter should have a debate hosted by CNN, and I immediately reacted, said, yes, I am waiting. I'm ready to roll.
No. Insist it's on my show. Why would you give that to CNN? They don't deserve it.
Oh, I loved it. Let's do it. Okay, Sean, that's a deal. Let's do it.
I'll let you debate anybody you want, any place, any time. I'll do any debate that Dr. Gork is involved in.
Four against one, like they usually do. Let's set it up. We'll have four of them.
I'll tell you what. How about two on two? We'll let them pick another person, and you and I will crush them.
Let's do it.
All right, you got it. All right, Dr. Sebastian Gorka, we'll continue. All right, 25 till the top of the hour. We've done a really good job, and we're not going to stop. We are going to force the country to understand more deeply real collusion, real corruption, real crimes committed, real investigations that need to be taking place, not the least of which is Ukraine, the ambassador, the embassy, the DNC operative meeting, passing on information to the Clinton campaign and the DNC, and also disseminating false information. Ukraine wants to impact our elections, the very things Democrats say they're outraged about. And they've ignored it. And we're forcing them never to ignore it. Just like the phony dossier, former British intel guy. And in his particular case, he's out there peddling phony information, a lot of which was received from Russia by paying people off and regurgitated by Democrats. And James Comey even wants to put the guy on the payroll. All proven to be false. Or the Uranium One deal, $145 million kicked back by the players in that to the Clinton Foundation. It's unbelievable. Listen to the Democrats now being forced. They're all denying this happened because the time we are spending to try and get the country to get perspective and get to some truth and get to some real understanding of how awful and how hypocritical and how phony selective moral outrage this is that's being, you know, literally heaped on the American people for 11 months.
Let me ask you, I understand Hillary Clinton lost, and I understand this effort was not as elaborate as the Russian effort, but was it acceptable, or would it have been acceptable for the Democrats to accept help from the Ukrainian government in this campaign?
No, it would be appropriate for the Democrats to accept help from the Ukrainian government. But I think if you look at the Politico article, and we're talking about just a single article here, if you accept all the facts in the article, the scale of what the Russians did is not comparable to anything in that article. If it were, the comparable analogy would be that the Ukrainian president directed the Ukrainian intelligence agencies to steal, to hack Donald Trump's campaign, steal emails, publish them, directed a social media army to influence the election, and sat down, its representatives sat down with Chelsea Clinton and John Podesta, in which they indicated they wanted the dirt on Donald Trump. There's no suggestion anything of that magnitude.
So the scale is different. Acknowledge that. But this is problematic. This Ukrainian meeting is problematic in your eyes.
Well, it would be problematic to get any kind of support from a foreign government. But again, I think to compare the two is a bit like comparing bank robbery with writing a check with insufficient funds, both appropriate money from the bank improperly, but a very different degree of seriousness and involvement in this case by a foreign government.
We know on the Ukrainian side it wasn't the campaign chairman, the son of the candidate and whatnot at the meeting. There are clear differences here. But let's try to figure out what this was. I mean, this woman, Alexandra Hulupa, was someone who did work with the Democrats over a period of time, wasn't she?
Well, it's my understanding at the time, I mean, again, I just know this from the Politico reporting, that she was a consultant to the DNC at the time. And I can tell you, and I think Dan's own reporting can also tell you, I never met with her. I don't think anybody who was actually part of our research team met with her. I can tell you our director, the person who was directing our Trump research, never met with her.
Are you saying if there's there, does that justify getting Oppo research from a foreign country?
But I think what we're saying is there's no evidence that that's what happened, right? I mean, even David just now from Politico was suggesting, you know, he couldn't say that that's what happened. And in your introduction, you didn't say that that's what happened here. She may have been freelancing and trying to see what kind of information she could get. That is not the same. She most certainly did not sit down with Chelsea Clinton and John Podesta and Robbie Mook and say, here's what I got.
What it does seem that you might have is another government, in this case the Ukrainian government, that did have an interest in the outcome of the U.S. election in May, and may have done something, whether it be provide documents, provide information when someone was asking for it. Do you deny that?
I don't know. I mean, I certainly don't have any. I don't have that. I was not part of any conversation like that, nor was anyone, you know, at the DNC. I mean, they've said there was no collusion with the Ukrainians, and I can tell you on the part of the campaign, there was no such thing that happened.
So now we have real collusion here. We have real denials, but we have more evidence of collusion. Ukraine ambassador, DNC paid operative, meeting, information exchange, false information disseminated, everything reported back to the DNC and to Hillary Clinton, our campaign. Okay, so put them all under oath. Put Wasserman Schultz under oath. Put this woman, Chalupa, under oath. Put the Ukraine ambassador under oath. Put John Podesta under oath. Robbie Mook under oath. Karen Finney under oath. Hillary under oath. And then let's get to the Uranium One deal. And let's get to the, you know, whoever would sign off. And they got 9 separate signatures. This is insanity. And Hillary's is one of them. That would allow 20% of America's uranium to go to an enemy, an adversary, as everybody in the media lectures us, Russia, Vladimir Putin. Allow that uranium, the foundational material for nuclear weapons, to go into their hands. And how is it all these Democrats, when are they going to be held accountable for regurgitating publicly lies from a phony dossier by a British intel agent, Christopher Steele, that's paid for by a Democratic group, Fusion GPS? And they regurgitate it like it's truth, all to impact an election. Never seen such corruption. All right, let's get to our busy telephones here. All right, we got Donna is in Frederick in Maryland on the Sean Hannity Show. Donna, hi, how are you? And we're glad you called.
Hi, Sean, it's my pleasure, and it's great to hear your voice. You've been really hitting them hard, and we the people are so grateful for that. You were mentioning regurgitating, and I heard the song from the Colbert Show with, you know, Morning Joke, if so to speak, doing a song called Monkey House.
By the way, for somebody that has written like 1,000 songs, he says, or some astronomical number of songs, this is his big second release, The Monkey House, talking about, I don't even know what it says. I mean, it is like, it's Britney Spears has grown way beyond this, as has Madonna.
Yes. Yeah, and that's saying something. And by the way, it sounds like he's got all effect on his voice. And your producer, Linda, has a phenomenal voice. And she really puts him to shame, you know, and she probably sings in the shower every day. So it's very interesting.
Oh, Linda can sing.
Try to get attention.
I don't know. Maybe you went to rock and roll, one of those fantasy camps. Did you ever hear the rock and roll fantasy camp?
I have.
I like, if you're 60 years old or close to 60, whatever Joe is, and you're trying to be a rock star, I mean, and you have your fiance puffing up your hair that it's like, you know, 4 feet high, and you're trying to look, you know, like Johnny Rotten, something is really wrong. And the video is creepy between the two of them. It's so bizarre.
It is.
Well, look, I don't know what's going on there. I don't really care. But I will say this. I'm not going to take cheap shots from him or anybody else in this fake news media. I'm proud of the work that we do, and we stand very independently, and we report things nobody else does, and we've done it our entire career. And Liberal Joe, what he's not telling anybody, he begged Roger Ailes and later Bill Shein dozens of times. He said he was embarrassed working at NBC. Embarrassed. And he begged them to come over to Fox, and I'm sure if he came over to Fox, he'd be a different person today, because that's who Joe is. I don't want to tell this whole story yet, but there is a story about my friend and my colleague, Greta Van Susteren, and her experience at NBC and what they were looking for. And all I can tell you is that Liberal Joe sold his soul. Liberal Joe, you know, Liberal Joe was mad. He was supposed to be a big radio host. They were just reconfiguring his radio show, and that was 7 years ago, and now we're waiting for it to come back on the air any day now. And he did this change politically to keep his job on a network of sheep that just regurgitate the same thing morning, noon, and night. I work at a channel where you have outnumbered, where you have all sorts of opinions. And a lot of people on my channel disagree with me. Shep Smith disagrees with me. And he does so vehemently. Fine, I have no problem with it. As does Ebony Williams, and as does the other co-host, what's her, Kat. They disagree with me, but you get alternate views. The panel on Brett Baer's show is not exactly a Hannity agreeing panel. Many of them hate my guts. And the same thing, the five, you got a diversity of opinion. Do you realize 24/7 on either CNN or MSNBC, you get the same thoughts. You get the same regurgitation. You get the same opinions. That's not the case with Fox. I mean, there's some people on the channel, my own channel, annoy the hell out of me with their views. But it's their views. And I respect that not everybody agrees with me. I understand it. But we are the highest rated in the last quarter, and it does say something. That never gets reported. Only Hannity's an embarrassment gets reported by whoever feeds that to the media. All right, let's get to our phones. My buddy Verlin is in Chicago. What's up, Verlin? How are you? And we're glad you called, sir. Welcome back.
How you doing, Sean?
You doing all right?
Let me tell you what's getting my blood boiling today. This non-story of collusion. Well, not today, but the whole 9 months. There's no there there. Now, remember, I'm going to take you back in time a little bit when Mitt Romney was debating Barack Obama. Democrats thought Mitt Romney was a fool for thinking that the Russians could be a threat to us. Now, since Donald Trump has become president, Russia is the big, bad, evil. Didn't Obama just keep information under wraps that could have that he thought could have hurt Trump, but he kept it under wraps because Hillary Clinton won? He had all kinds of information that he kept under wraps. So he's no better than anybody else. He's no better than Hillary. He's no better than Bill. He's low down, just like the rest of the Democrats that play dirty. I can't stand the dirty politics. They know they're not telling the truth. They know they're lying. They know there's no there there. They know there's nothing on Donald Trump. And politicians meet every day with foreign governments. Now it's a problem. If anybody talks to anybody in Russia, come on, man. The people's not fooled by this crap.
All right, my friend. Verlin, you've come a long way. I'm really impressed with you and what you have to say. Thanks for being with us. 800-941-SHAWN. You want to be a part of the program. Waco, Texas. Mike is next. Mike, how are you? Glad you called.
I'm great. Thanks for having me on the show.
So yeah, what's happening?
I've got a theory that I think wraps up everything with the Democrats, and I want to hear your thoughts on it.
Okay.
I think that the reason why they are so in favor of gun control is because they know they can't be trusted with guns.
I don't know if it's necessary that they can't be trusted. I think there is a unnatural fear, and frankly a healthy one in my opinion, of people that don't know firearms. I've actually tried to help and train people in the safety and use of firearms at times, and some people are scared to death of that which they do not know, and I think it's a good fear to have, a natural fear to have.
Well, and I agree. I've helped train people as well, but I've seen a lot of liberals that say, you know, that guns should be banned because, you know, if I have a gun, then I would do X. You know, a lot of those kind of indications that they think they can't be trusted with guns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, you know, we have them calling us violent while they're the ones that are, you know, shooting Republican Congress members. You know, they call us racist, but then, you know, they do a lot of racist things left, right, and center. You know, I think that the core issue with Democrats and with liberals is that all of the things that they say about us, they are really just projecting that everything they say is things that they feel about themselves but don't want to admit about themselves.
Look, I just don't want to speak with broad sweeping generalizations like that. I actually want people to have a healthy fear of ever picking up a firearm. And I tell people all the time, there's somebody that I know in my life that recently said to me that based on security issues that they're considering a firearm, and they asked my advice. My advice was go get training. Go get trained. Go learn from a professional. Go learn from a law enforcement guy. People that teach firearm safety love teaching it. I've taught it myself. I just get in that environment where you get to feel comfortable. Because you don't just go, I'm going to buy the biggest gun and bring it into my house. It's stupid. It's not intelligent. And they're very dangerous, and you got to treat it with the respect that it deserves. And I'm of the belief system that if anything ever happens, as the gun owner, you're responsible. But what happens? My kids can't get my guns, ever. I could tell you where my guns are in my house. You wouldn't get them. Anyway, it's just important you handle them safely. 800-941-SHAWN. That's going to wrap things up for today. We've got an awesome Hannity tonight. We are going to make sure the media must follow the stories that they are covering up. It's now a critical moment. The fake news industrial complex. I'll lay it all out with images tonight in a way we never have before. Hannity, 10 Eastern, Newt Gingrich. Also, our to-do list, what the Republicans need to get done. We'll go more deeply into Adam Schiff's comments, Jay Sekulow, Monica Crowley tonight. And, well, I've got an important monologue about Trump hate. 10 Eastern, Fox. See you back here tomorrow.